The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
And away we go on Friday. John Granato's at what he always is at, right around May, a member guest tournament. It's not the Cabo Cup, it's member guest. I give him credit. He takes vacation days just to go play golf. So, if nothing else, he's really on brand. But Dell's in, Sean's in, an elite producer. Sean Mapes is in the building today. And
is he a generational producer?
Generational, not yet. We got to see.
Because are you as stingy with that term for producers as you are for draft prospects?
Yeah, generational.
Who is a generational producer you've worked with?
Nobody.
Or even run into at some
Nobody.
Point? Like, no one from Dan Patrick?
You know what? Raheel.
Raheel is a generational
Raheel producer? Was a generational producer, and then he wanted to get on the air real bad.
The timeline is he was on the air, and then they put him with you. I don't know.
We had Nooney Oaks was originally our producer, and I think Raheel was the next one up.
Raheel was working with Hoffy and Nuno, so he was on the air reporting as well. And then they found a place for him and stuck him with you.
Raheel could have been generational. He could anticipate where things were going. He would add to the segment by bringing up music we didn't expect and things like that. His career as a producer was ended too soon, and he went to radio.
By himself.
He ended his career. Well, it would have been a great career. Doesn't pay great.
Who are the guys who have
one of the biggest what ifs in sports?
Yeah, radio. Many people talked about what would have happened if Raheel had remained as a producer of John and Lance's show.
Do you believe sticking with you as a producer is a jumping off point to a great career?
Yes, Ross Villarreal, producer, now hosts a show. Michael Connor has a pilot's license now.
What?
Well, I mean, he was a producer of my show. In the morning at 7:90, and now he has a pilot's license.
You think they're connected?
Well, I mean, he jumped off to a good career, and soon he'll be able to fly his wife for free.
Is he going to be a commercial pilot?
Yeah, probably. He's taking pilot stuff right now. He's flying around right now, and soon he'll be flying for free. So I'd say that's a pretty good glow up from being my producer.
I don't know.
Absolutely.
I know he does an Astros podcast,
Rusty's
I believe.
Dead.
Is that connected? Rusty being your producer to now death?
I don't think so. He couldn't eat strawberries because of the seeds in them. So that's one of those stomach things.
What a life.
He was never,
You couldn't eat strawberries because of the seeds. Like, I know a lot of people have food issues where.
What is it? Not ulcerative colitis. What's the other one?
No idea.
There's another stomach thing where you can't eat strawberry seeds because it could get in the pockets of his lining. And he used to go walk to the mall and have a slice of pizza every Wednesday was his big day. He'd walk around the neighborhood with his dog Punkin and tell on people with the homeowners.
HOA, right?
Yeah. So, you know, wasn't generational.
I just don't see a lot of career mobility upwards coming from people who work with you.
Look at you.
Look at me, what?
You've got a good brand.
Do I?
Mm-hmm.
If I had one, you guys tried to destroy that brand.
Do you remember when they were trying to get us to write for Sports Map, but they told
for
us
free.
We had to. Yeah, and they told you it'd be good for your brand.
Yes, I remember that. That's not the only time I've heard doing something for free would be good for my brand.
Oh.
It's been said to me several times.
They tell you what, it's one of the best. I use it now all the time as a joke, but I use that because it's not a selling point, typically,
no.
I found.
I've heard that before, and it didn't lead to anything.
Now, I do believe that doing stuff free as an intern can be a huge, like, my son's doing free stuff at Alabama. He's not getting paid for that.
But he's sees
got a chance
path, right?
Yeah, there's a path. Sam didn't get paid anything. She just did a really good job. I put in a good word for her, and she's worked really hard. And now Sam
is the boss of all of us.
Now she's thinks she's the boss of us. She's giving us big bomb energy.
I get a text message two times a week about
where something is.
Stop recording so I can grab this video for the John and Lance show. I was like, okay, yes, ma'am. Let me stop recording so you can grab your video. So she's at least from about 7 to 10, she's the boss of me.
I like that she's bossy. You know where you stand with her.
You seem like the type who would love a domineering woman.
Well, I've got one at home.
That's why I said.
She comes back from the lunch. She's in Dublin. She ran the London Marathon, then went to Dublin. She comes back today, and all the only talk around the house has been, you guys have got to clean this house up. When she comes home, she's going to be pissed. Like, that, none of the stuff she's going to, because she's going to come home, be, oh, I'm so happy to see everybody, and within 3 minutes, there's going to be complaining about the house is a wreck. And it won't be a wreck. It'll look the exact same. I'll get it looking exactly the same as it was when I got home, but it won't be good
enough. It's that vibe you get when you stay at a hotel and they take care of everything for you. You come home, you're like, oh, something's always a little off because, you know, you got people living there.
Do you understand that she could be gone, like, in 3 days, and I'm part of the problem.
Of course you
are. In 3 days, the house, like, it's – she can't leave me because it would be.
You mean ever or just?
No, ever.
Okay.
She can't die first because it would be a total mess. Like, I wouldn't. The house would be terrible. I would have to spend so much. I definitely wouldn't wash my own clothes. I'm doing a terrible job of that already.
How hard is it to do that?
It's not hard, but I leave it in there too long. Everything gets all wrinkly. Just things I take for granted.
No, I see you as a type that if for whatever reason Nicole separated herself from you for whatever reason, you'd eventually have to go to a small apartment because you couldn't keep a home.
No, 100%.
No chance.
There's no question.
Yeah.
I get a nice one.
Yeah, sure. But if
I take pictures. Look at this. Somebody comes and cleans my house. I'd send it to her out of hate and spite.
So if you had to live in L.A. because of a job, whatever, you took a job and that was you'd have to live in a small apartment and maybe get a maid?
Yeah. I would 100% have to get a maid.
Yeah. There's no chance.
100% have to get a maid. I could not. I'm just too. I guess I'm messy. What she says, I'd never tell her that, but she knows. So yeah. John's gone. Dell's here. Sean's here. You guys can jump in anytime you want. 713-780-3776. Big story is Rockets have a game 6, and they're trying to force a game 7. Thanks in large part to James Harden.
Who bounced back from an awful game 5.
Actually a couple bad games in a row. James Harden is and has was taking some heat in L.A. He's made it to, and frankly, I'm happy about this, an elimination game. James Harden is in a game 7. All the marbles. And we get to see, he's on the road, and we get to see James Harden potentially add to his legacy. And I'm just going to tell you, and this is, some people will call it hater behavior. I just call it, look, I'm praying on his downfall in game 7. I've said it. I'm writing him off, and he's going to write back. I knew I couldn't do it in a game 7.
Do you think?
I am cheering for him to expand the legacy of failure. And I do this out of a sense of, it's not hate. But it's
no. You're praying on downfall. For that's hate.
What's the word for it? It's not hate. What's below hate? Sean, what's below hate? It's
disdain.
Derision. Yeah, that's pretty good. The disdain for what he did to my Rocket teams when it mattered, and I'll never forgive him for the San Antonio Spurs point shaving scandal. Allegedly,
something you're alleging.
Well, what was he doing? He was standing out. He was standing out 35 feet from the basket. And wouldn't shoot.
I don't know. Like,
it's the strangest moment. A documentary should be done.
I was going to say, Bill Simmons, stop doing Celtics documentaries. No one cares about except for you. If you want to do something, get involved in trying to find out what happened with the Spurs Rockets game 6. What was James Harden on?
Exactly. He had just balled out the game before in San Antonio, and then he did fall apart a little bit in the overtime.
Manu blocked a shot.
In the overtime. Yeah, Manu got him from behind. And then after that, I don't know what happened, but James decided he wasn't even going to try. It was the strangest thing. And you're right, Bill Simmons is writing, he's doing self-indulgent
Celtics
documentaries.
Right now, Celtics City, whatever it's called.
Yeah, I can't.
No one
cares. What is this? I'm not going to watch this dumb stuff.
Not a chance.
But if you had James Harden,
an entire – first of all, any James Harden documentary would have to be – it'd have to be on Netflix because it'd need to be 5 or 6 episodes. It'd have to be much longer. There's a lot. There's strip – so you have to do strip club stuff. You have to do, you know, his time at Arizona State. You have to do his time in Houston. Then the Houston one would take 2 episodes.
Of course.
It'd be 2 episodes.
Then you get – you can probably combine Philly and Brooklyn together.
Yeah.
There'll have to be a Daryl Morey episode.
Yeah, okay, it's got to be 6 episodes minimum. Has to be 6 minimum, actually. But a big one has to be James's failures, and that's why I need this to be a bad game for James. I need James to add to his legacy as the greatest scorer who always choked in big games in the playoffs. And it's only because of what he did with the Rockets. And, you know, I don't have a lot of respect for some of the work ethic stuff, some of the way that he's behaved, and then some things I know from behind the scenes.
Well, he continued that legacy in Brooklyn and Philly. Now he was banged up, but the Kevin Durant toe on the line game, he was a nothing. There's a game 6 in Philly that they lost at home where he was asked about his lack of performance in the second half. He goes, "Well, I pass the ball. If the ball doesn't come back to me, then what do you want me to do?"
Yeah, no, James is no. I never said this is it stopped in Houston.
So my question,
I'm just saying my beef with him, and I just think it's kind of a cool narrative that this guy who's one of
the
Daryl Morey will call the greatest scorer of all time is one of the least clutch players in the history of the game in an elimination.
So what are you hoping for? Are you hoping for an all-out
5 of 14?
So you're looking for him to be active but terrible, or do you want disappearing act where he doesn't shoot at all?
It's kind of a win-win. If he disappears, that's one narrative we can follow. He's scared of the moment.
Mm-hmm.
If he is 4 of 16, 5 of 14 in a loss where they lose by 13, we get to say, once again, James just doesn't show up.
So either way you win, as long as he's bad. Okay.
I can't have them win and James scores 31. That's no good.
I just say the Kawhi aspect
and even
of it
losing and scoring 28 is not great if he's shooting 50.
Because if he plays well, that hurts the narrative. But I think the Kawhi aspect of it all may protect him and ruin your day.
And that's why Kawhi is one of the all-timers. It's weird because he's kind of a – He's a huge – I don't know. I don't even know how to – Kawhi is one of the strangest clutch players. Like, he doesn't – he never shrinks from any moments. Kawhi is super clutch. And Kawhi – you're right. And I just think Kawhi's probably going to have a big game and protect James. And James will have, like, 11 assists because Kawhi will be scoring all the time. But, we'll see. Our own Rockets play in a Game 7. The reason I got into James' territory is Rockets have – a Game 6 today. And they're trying to push a Game 7, make it another NBA Game 7. The Knicks beat the Pistons, so they're through. And this is going to be the series that everyone is focusing on. And this is just getting to it. Beating Golden State and Golden State for the first time in the playoffs that I can remember. And getting to a Game 7 would be huge. But, of course, once you get there, we're expecting you to win also. But they've badly outplayed Golden State in 2 games. In 2 of the games, they're down 3-2. And then they have had leads. Like, there's only been one game where I felt like, and that was Game 1 after they had a good first quarter. And then, you know, after that, Golden State just went Golden State, and the Rockets looked like a team who weren't ready to be in that situation. But other than that, the Rockets have been in position to win games, twice in Golden State, and they just didn't do it. So I'm not expecting Golden State to run away with this thing. I expected Houston to run away with it the other day, not to the extent that they did, but I kind of expected that. And I thought if Golden State gets down, they'll really back it off. But they didn't back off Steph and Jimmy Butler until it was really a beating. And they never brought Steph or Jimmy Butler back. Even when they, it was the fake, it's getting close when it was down to 12. They never brought those guys back. But this is an important game for the Rockets because everyone around sports, everyone who's in sports, I had another conversation with an old friend of mine, Mac Jones, who played college baseball, but he was a really good basketball player. His dad was a college basketball coach. And we were talking about the Rockets. He lives in Austin now. And he was talking about Amen Thompson. Nobody that you know, if you talk basketball on the Rockets, you know who they don't talk about? Jalen, and they don't talk that much about Şengün. Amen is the one that everyone loves. Every football guy I know that loves, like Bucky Brooks, Chris Ballard. Ballard still watches Rockets. He stays up until 11:30 or 12 Eastern time watching Rockets playoff games during draft prep because he still loves the Rockets. And he'll text and just loves Amen Thompson, loves the Rockets, loves Amen Thompson, loves Ime Udoka. But now everyone's starting to realize and believe if they don't get through this series, I mean, I can't tell you how big this is. Jalen Green's career with the Rockets, it may already be sealed. Like, they may already go in a different direction. If they lose this series, I do not expect Jalen Green to be back. I already know Cam Whitmore's going to be gone. They're not going to keep him on the roster. But do you think Jalen, I mean, there's always a chance of him still staying. What are the odds of Jalen Green being dealt in the offseason? In the offseason, he could go anytime you make an in-season trade, that means things aren't going great for you. If you move a guy, because if things are going good, you don't want to mess with anything. What are the odds that Jalen Green is dealt before the NBA draft? And that's coming up. Ooh, that's actually quick. Pretty fast, yeah.
That one would be quick, I think. During the offseason, I think a lot of it's dependent on how the series goes.
I'm saying if they don't win.
Okay, well, even his play, I think, matters, too, because if he bounces back and has a couple good games, they lose. Okay,
he's had 7, 8, 9, 11,
this is what I'm saying. You were talking about James Harden, his elimination stuff and his disappearing acts. Well, we've got the start of a narrative on Jalen Green's career through half of the first series of his playoff life where he's non-existent except for one game. So that stuff will start to take hold a little bit for him as well. Well, there's a giant article written. ESPN has done a couple articles on the Rockets and Astros over the last 2 days.
Astros,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, Jeff Passan has one on Hunter Brown out right now. Talk about Hunter Brown's resurgence from the Royals game last year.
I'm going to ask you, hold on, 7:16. When I do a show, I like to stay on time.
Sure.
So I ask you to save that. Dell's made us 3 minutes past break.
Oh, it's my fault.
So we'll break it right here.
But
we come back.
There are a couple of articles from ESPN about the two local teams and what. Well, Hunter Brown's is just a celebration of what he's done. The Rockets one is all about what you're talking about. Are they going to be patient? How much will this series determine? And there's quotes from...
Who wrote it?
McMahon. Yeah. Tim McMahon. There's quotes from Patrick Fertitta in there. Ime Udoka talks about either the hunt for a star or the patience to stay with the guys on the roster. So it's out there. So those conversations will be had throughout.
I don't know that they have patience. We'll talk about those articles, and we'll get to that in a second. But it is a huge game. Astros also go against the 8-23 Chicago White Sox. Fromber is back on the bump today. 7:16, when we come back, we'll get into these articles talking about Houston teams from ESPN, and we'll cover a few more things that happened yesterday. Jalen Brunson, big. And I got some not sports stuff that we have to get into, and that maybe your people – the millennials are going to have to answer for.
Oh, I thought it was Nigerians, but
no,
my people.
No, millennials.
Okay.
Have to. And Sean, are you Gen Z or millennial?
Depends on the conversation. Yeah. Depends on if that I want to separate myself from.
That means Gen Z. Okay. Yeah, a lot of you aren't a lot of you really aren't the same.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of Gen Z that aren't really like we all assume they are. There's a lot of them. So, I'm not going to assume anything. 717 here on the bench, 713-780-3776.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 7:23, and you can call whenever you want. I mean, it's a big Game 7 day for the Rockets. So
six.
You were, and I'm sorry, Game 6. And then you were talking about, and I do need to mention, Framber Valdez, as I said, Astros take on the White Sox today. So you have White Sox playing, you have the Rockets playing at Golden State. What time is that game? Let's see how late I have to stay up today.
Don't have it. It is an 8 o'clock start.
Doing no work.
And there's Let's see. Game ahead of it. It's the only game of the day, so maybe it'll start at 8:15 because it's ESPN. Maybe at 8:15.
Yeah, that's not bad. It's better than those stupid 9 o'clock games. Okay, so tell me what did Tim McMahon say?
So Tim McMahon has an article, and this has been a constant thing following the Rockets all year. There is maybe a push from the media, or maybe because they talk to people inside the Rockets about what are they going to do. Are they going to fast forward their timeline, or is this a team that's going to remain patient? And, you know, Patrick Fertitta's quoted in the article talking about what they want. And the recent quotes from the Rockets are about hoping to find someone internally that takes the next step to become a superstar, as opposed to them having to cobble together a package to go trade for one. So at this point, what they want is someone, whether it be Green or Şengün and maybe Amen, who may be a year or two more away than the other guys, to find a lane where they can be a clear number one. But they don't rule out the possibility of finding someone who can add to this roster, maybe up the timeline, because you've talked about it all year. You prefer for them to stay patient and hope that the guys grow together, because part of it is it's more fun to watch these guys grow and play as opposed to making a superstar trade.
Yeah, we've seen it. Like, I've been, as a fan, I've seen two teams win championships. I saw two titles with the Rockets, two titles with the Astros. And the Rockets were pretty homegrown. I mean, they got Kenny in a trade, but they had him for a long time. Sam Cassell, they got in a trade from the Spurs. But he was there for a while. Otis Thorpe was part of a trade. But you had Sam was, you know, Dream was drafted. Sam Cassell was drafted. Robert Horry was drafted. I don't know. The core, and Clyde came back but he was at University of Houston. But the Astros, like, there's a level of attachment that you cannot, you just, it can't be bought. I wonder if Miami fans care at all about the titles that they won in baseball when they were buying their rosters and then they were gone like the next year. I wonder if they actually even care about
this. From what I can tell, it's less that the titles were bought. It's just that the organization, through two different ownership groups, did nothing to maintain them. So these flash in the pan things where you can celebrate winning, but now you're in the dark ages for all the other years. I think that's the bigger. That's why baseball's dead there.
Yeah. So let's think of it this way. So the Astros, I believe that you have to go through ups and downs to truly love a team, and I don't think the Texans have had enough ups and downs. They've been in business now since 2002. We're talking 23 years of football coming up, and there have not been enough, like, you have to have your guts ripped out, and you kind of did in the Kansas City game. Like, it wasn't a last-second thing or anything, but you have to have some highs and some lows, and then you start to develop a real emotional attachment to a team. And it's been just too much bland and blah. And some of you guys out there, I know, you do your horns and you dress up and you put paint on your face and all that stuff. And that's great. I want you to be a super fan. But for a lot of us, you really get into it once you have your heart ripped out, and then you go to the highest level. And with the Astros, we had that. And then you have a forever emotional attachment. I don't know, who was I talking to yesterday who we were talking about the fact that with this Astros team, they're not bad. I mean, their record is better than they've been in some of the years over the last few years when they've gone to, you know, World Series, frankly, and AL Championship Series. But the emotional attachment just isn't there. Not for me, and probably for a lot of us, because you have Paredes, and it's normal. It's like we're so used to our homegrown guys coming up and guys who, you know, the team. That's an old school way of doing sports, where you know the team every year and they're your team every year, and you don't have to, you know, which you'll never have in college football anymore. But now it's like Paredes and Rodgers and Walker and who else am I leaving out? Yiner, who else? Brent Rodgers.
Those are Paredes. The main three, I think.
Yeah, those are the main three. But, well, Cam Smith is new.
Yeah, but it's a trade, but you assume him as one of your own now.
And look, you have a new group of pitchers at the back end. You always have new bullpen guys, so that's, you know, it is what it is. That's just kind of the nature of the position. But I don't know. I'm just not, like, there's not the same level of excitement around the team when there's a bunch of guys that I don't really know. Like, yeah, I got pissed at Alex Bregman, like all of us did early in his, early in the year. Like, again, Braggy, you're doing this. But we also love Alex Bregman because we know he can be super clutch. Kyle Tucker was starting off the season. He had MVP start last year until he got hurt. Like, I don't know. I just, this team, but it was a long run. So this is, this happens for every team. But it was a long, long run. The thing that's making this Rocket team special is we know all these guys, man. They are homegrown. And even though you add a Fred VanVleet, Dylan Brooks, you did that with Justin Verlander. You've done that with Garrett Cole. You've done it with other guys. But you have a base of young guys. As long as you don't completely rip through that where there's only two guys left, I think you have a chance to have something really special with the fans. But I also think that if you want to win, you have to have, at some point, you have to be honest about it. And I don't want to see this team ripped up. But if I'm being honest, I don't know that they can win if you don't have a guy that's a dude in the last 5 minutes. And who's their dude?
Well,
it can only be one of two guys, well, Jalen or Alperen. And I don't know if either one of them is a real 5 minutes to go dude.
Well, that's the article. It talks about the Rockets being aware that they need an all-NBA offensive engine because that's how titles are won. You need one of those dudes that not only the last 5 minutes, but someone that can get you good shots at any point that you understand, you know where you're going when you want to run good offense. So they understand that they need that, but Ime, who sometimes we position as the guy who would be looking to make a move, according to his quotes in this article, he's the one who came in knowing the vision was to try to develop this roster into finding one. And he says it would do a disservice to expedite this process when the goal was to make this roster one where someone would take the step to becoming the all-NBA player that you need to go win titles. So from the tenor of the article is the Rockets would rather have it done by someone who they drafted and let it work out that way. But their eyes are open, clearly, and they'll allow the process to play out. And if something comes available, they'll consider it.
That doesn't surprise me that a defensive-minded coach is conservative in his approach. Jeff Van Gundy was conservative in his approach where he wanted – it was about having veterans for him. It was about they like known quantities. Veteran coaches and defensive-minded coaches like known quantities. They don't like the unknown. And Ime Udoka likes tough. He likes guys who he already knows who they are. He knows Fred VanVleet. He knows their mindset. He's got dogs in the building. The problem is Ime going to have – how are the Rockets going to deal with – so Patrick Fertitta is the guy you really need to know because Tillman's going to be gone. John said like 10 of 12 months. He's an ambassador to Italy. Patrick Fertitta already is highly instrumental and influential in what's going on that team. It's going to be – Tillman, I mean, it's going to be Patrick and Rafael Stone and Ime Udoka. And I wonder how the decision-making is going to go there. Does Stone get skipped in that? Is it the owner and the head coach? Is Stone going to be highly influential and Patrick Fertitta just goes hands off? Does Stone have the final say over Ime Udoka for the roster? Like, there's the legitimate questions. I don't know how it works for the Rockets that I'm really curious about because – it could come to a head if they say, look, we got to have this player. We got to make a change. And if Ime says, I don't want to make a change. This is my team. We got to grow it. Like, I think that's an interesting dynamic that has not maybe been settled.
Well, in that, you mentioned
that. You hadn't had to settle it.
Yeah, you haven't. Now, then maybe after one playoff run, if it's a run or just a series, maybe they will not settle it then either. But you talk about Patrick Fertitta. He is very positive about the roster. He believes the all-NBA player resides currently on the roster, and maybe there's a couple, but he also mentions you don't see guys at this age get there yet, so he has confidence, but there needs to be some patience. But he does add this. With that being said, anytime a guy at that level becomes available, we would be remiss not to do your due diligence.
Who said that?
Patrick Fertitta.
Yeah, of course ownership does.
So
John's told you a million times they want stars.
So you know, like,
and he knows them.
You know, in Game of Thrones, where the two daughters are talking to Arya and Sansa goes, our father used to say anything but before the word but was just BS. So maybe with that being said, maybe this version of, yeah, we love everybody.
Yeah.
But if someone is available, we will be looking into it.
Let's get that call on line four. Who is that, though?
Let's go with Dan. Dan wants to talk
about
James
Harden. What's up, Dan? How are we doing?
Hey, I'm good. Just wanted You know, you were giving me some sports PTSD there this morning, Lance. He didn't, that game you guys were talking about, he didn't take a shot until like halfway through the second quarter. Like, what the hell is that? Like, that's what, I wasn't thinking about maybe that moment specifically because there were so many. But I was thinking about that in last game when our men's putting up 25 points, 5 blocks, and 3 steals in terms of a guy who in an elimination game brought it like a dog, you know? The difference between Harden and him. And then, you know, the overall team was aggressive. It was like a whole different thing than we've seen before in an elimination game from our previous guy, you know,
I'm hoping thanks for the call, Dan. If you watch that game, the Rockets got beat 114-75. They scored 75 points at home. They were outscored in every single quarter.
By the way, Kawhi didn't play in that game.
Tony
Parker didn't play in that game. James gave Jonathan Simmons a pathway to a life-changing contract.
Wait a minute.
With
Orlando. My God, Tony Parker didn't
Jonathan
play
Simmons
either?
Was the best wing in that series, and he parlayed that into a deal with Orlando. Didn't turn it into anything, the player. But, yeah.
Let me tell you how bad James was. He played 37 minutes, was minus 28. In an elimination game, he shot 11 times, was 2 of 11, which were both threes. He was 4 of 6 from the free throw line. Great free throw shooter. He had 3 rebounds, 7 assists, 6 turnovers, and scored 10 points and fouled out. He didn't even shoot a shot until the second quarter. James.
Was that white party day?
Did
he win at the white party?
A day later, he ended up at it's not Rick Ross's white party, was it?
I don't know
who it is. Because it wasn't. Now it's the guy from Fanatics, does it? Michael Rubin? Is that his name?
I think white parties are a thing, just period. I just don't know who was the party thrower that time.
All whites, yeah. And so James was made his way there. But James literally, or is this the game where James ended up going into the strip club? And
it was
I think this
one
might have been the strip club.
It was
game.
One where he wound up at a place people didn't want him at because they thought he should be as miserable as they were after the game.
Yeah. And he should have. He didn't try. He intentionally, I don't know how else you'd go anywhere else with it. James didn't even try. James Harden, that whole series had been, you know, competing. And in this game, he didn't compete. So, die on the vine today.
Tomorrow
in your game 7. Rockets don't follow. And they wanted to bring James back. And the Rockets wanted to bring Fat Suit James back. Everything the way he treated the Rockets, the way he bullied them around. And they wanted to bring in that abusive relationship, bring James back. Terrible. Thank you, Ime. Thank you for giving us the likes of Atari Eason and Amen Thompson. Of course, they were drafted for him. But still, they're all grossed up and terrorizing people as the Terror Twins.
So, I brought it up yesterday, and Dream Shake sent me a video to kind of confirm my opinion. Amen's got some Ron Artest in him.
Mm-hmm.
And do you know what he said when he was asked late in the year about what he needs to work on next year?
Mm-mm.
My rage.
What?
He said my rage.
I'm starting to notice it.
Sean,
more
do you
and
have
more.
That? We'll play
Did
it.
Did you see what he told, what he called?
We talked about it.
You H-A-N.
H-A-N.
He dropped an H-A-N.
GP2 and Dylan Brooks had to shove him away before he, I don't know what he would have done, but Dylan Brooks had to get involved. If he is saying openly to media about what he needs to work on is my rage, I think the Rockets know too, and I don't know what they're going to do about it.
Well, as long as he's not getting 15 texts a year like Draymond, as long as he's not kicking in the junk.
We know he doesn't mind a physical altercation.
I'm starting to think he really likes them.
Well, you'll hear him.
He's wired totally differently.
Yeah.
His wiring is.
His brother his brother was quoted saying, Amen used to like to hurt me when we were young.
Yeah, I'm not sure that Asur is wired the same way. Like, he's tough. He plays basketball the same. Amen is, you know how you hear about those twins, but one of them will eat the other twin for.
In utero?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like Asur is lucky he got out alive and is playing ball today.
Lucky he made it to 21.
Yeah. Dude, Amen strikes me as a guy that I had to think about this, but he's got some real quiet alpha energy that is hard to get a hold of. All right, 738. We got another call on the line. You guys want to jump in? 713-780-3776.
ESPN 97.5.
Please stand by.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Specific things you know that you want to work on this offseason?
Yeah. My reads.
Chris Fisher from HRMP is listening. He goes, "Amen, eating his brother in utero was probably your best work." Now, I think John would have liked it. My wife and my family might not have been as proud.
I don't know how that came about. Was that a combo, both of us, where he said something and I don't, did you?
Oh, I said in the womb. You said in utero. Okay. I forgot that's
I think
the
that
name
was.
For it.
I think that was a combo.
We combined for that. That's a hockey assist.
Yeah.
That was a hockey assist. No, it led to a direct score, actually.
Yeah, appreciate that.
Yes, that's a direct assist.
An alley-oop, even.
I just say things. What is it when somebody eats the other one in the womb? Oh, in utero? So Dell tightens it up like he's an editor. He's like my editor, and I just type whatever for a draft, and then I read this. And somebody goes, "Man, your word, you are such a good writer." And I'm like, "I know." And then I'll read it, the draft profile. I'm like, "Ooh, they really did. They did a nice job on this." I'll read my articles. My compensatory pick article comes out today, none for the Texans, and it's going to look so much better than what I wrote. Like, and some of those editors really will rewrite the whole thing, and I just think,
"Thanks, guys."
Yeah. Like, there's this one guy who doesn't usually do my editing, but when he does, he says, "Hey, I'm going to, instead of you saying this, I'm going to say it like this." I'm like, "Good, yeah, yes on." He'll do it to about seven things. Yes on all. Yes on all of them. That's fine. Make me look good. Let's get Dan in here. I mean, Ryan. Ryan wants to talk about the Rockets as well. What's up, Ryan? How are we doing? Thanks for hanging in.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you doing?
Good.
Hey, so I'm with you guys. Like, I think we need a superstar, but I also don't want to tear the team apart. So I'm just thinking, what if it's far fetched, but what if we get lucky, we end up with like the number one pick? Do you think that's enough to, that's obviously Cooper Flagg. Do you think that's enough to say, okay, here's Cooper Flagg, here's Jalen Green, here's Fred VanVleet, and you give us Giannis? Do you think that would be enough?
I don't know that they would deal Cooper Flagg. John made the point that he would not deal him. To me, I don't know who Cooper Flagg is going to be. I know who Giannis is ready to win now. Dale, and thanks for the call, Ryan. Your whole thing is, and I'm kind of with you, you get even younger. Like, he's 19 years old.
Yeah, when I talk about this Rocket team, and sometimes it may come off negatively, it isn't about what they can be. It's about what they are now. And to expect a team led by 22-year-olds, 23-year-olds to win big is going against what we've seen in the NBA. What Anthony Edwards is doing at 23 years old is a bit of an outlier, and he hasn't reached the summit yet. We don't know that he will with OKC standing in his way. The process is you get an SGA where it takes a couple of years, and then by his mid-20s, 26, 27, he's ready to go. So are you getting younger with Cooper Flagg and then leaning on the 19-year-old who isn't even 19 yet to be your finishing piece? Or does that add to the timeline because you got to incorporate Cooper into the mix, and that's just another young player who has to find his way along with the rest of the guys as they try to assert who they are. We've already seen the fallout from having so many young guys. A very talented player like Cam Whitmore, who from the outside looking in may have some attitude issues. We don't know. We're just trying to find reasons why he doesn't play. Doesn't get minutes. Reed Sheppard, your number 3 overall pick, doesn't get minutes. You're adding another guy who you would assume would get minutes because you look at
Cooper Flagg.
You look at the lineup, Şengün, Amen as your 4/3.
Şengün is your 5 and 5. Cooper Flagg is
your 4. Yeah, this is what I'm saying. Then Amen drops down to the 3.
Cooper Flagg would be a great addition. It's just that
you're just getting younger, and yeah. Is Cooper Flagg ready to be a piece on a championship team for a team who is already young as hell? So that's why if it was me.
They're young, but they came in together young. Like, I feel like they're more basketball old, if that makes sense.
Well, they've had one real year of winning.
4 years together?
Some of them.
It depends on when they're drafted.
But they've had 1 year of real sustained success, and they're in a dogfight to get out of the first round against an older team that everyone tells me is not as good as them. Because this is just how it goes. This is how it goes, because there's always going to be an issue with the young team until there isn't, whether it be free throw shooting or turnovers or lack of execution. Cooper Flagg is a valuable piece, and who knows what he'll be. I don't think he would put him over the top. So if you're thinking about trading him, I would. It would have to be clearly for the right player. But I also get why you would want to keep him, because the way that he's talked about, you're talking about a guy for 15 years could be your best player. Maybe not for the first three or four of that 15, but going forward after that, you may be talking about a clear number one option for a title team. But do you want to wait for it?
Mm-hmm.
That's the question, particularly if a guy like Giannis is available.
Yeah, I'm keeping all options open. But if you have a chance to bring in Giannis, it's going to be Rocket fans will not like it, but then they'll like it. Like once he's on the team, you'll like it.
Yeah.
But it will hurt. It will hurt, and it should hurt. This guy is one of the best players in the world, and there's going to be competition for him. A lot of people are going to want Giannis. So.
And it's happened before. I brought up to just make it a point. It's different because Andrew Wiggins was not the type of prospect. He was number one overall pick, but he wasn't talked about like Cooper Flagg is talked about. But Kevin Love wasn't Giannis. And the Cavs made a win-now trade because they had LeBron. The question for the Rockets is, do they believe the rest of the roster would be ready along with Giannis to win? If they don't think so, then don't make the trade. Because why are you bringing in Giannis if you don't think you can win a title with the rest of the roster? So the Cavs had LeBron, so of course they were ready to win. If you bring in Giannis, are the rest of the guys ready? We would have to find out if they make the trade.
Let's break it here because we're late because you got us behind.
See, this is what we got to go. But people, I talked about this with Sean. People are talking about how Giannis showed so much restraint. He put his forehead right on John Halliburton's forehead. He wasn't that restrained.
He was showing restraint
until he went to go talk to him.
Until he wasn't.
Yeah, they're like, hey.
He's a little. Remember, he's the same one that got pissed off about the ladder
when it was trying
like,
to warm
Giannis
up.
Gets mad. Giannis gets pissed at people. He'll fit on this team fine.
Yeah, I'm listening to people talk about how great he did. Yeah, he didn't knock him out, but he did. There was a physical confrontation.
I don't know that you could have Giannis and Dylan Brooks and Amen Thompson on the same team.
I think Giannis would help Amen with his rage, right? He'll just be like, yeah, no, here's what you do. You don't, choke him or call him an H-A-N, but... Mm-hmm. What you do is just put your forehead right on his forehead and be really mean to him.
He did throw Tyler Hero.
He threw him across the floor. In fact, he got thrown out of a game for a flagrant foul two on Giannis.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was a hard foul.
Yeah.
That was one I'm like, man, that was
no
a little
one,
extra.
I keep bringing up, no one remembers
every
that.
Every once in a while, I'll see him make a foul. I'm like, well, that was a little, I don't know no if that was necessary.
No one remembers the forearm to Maxi Kleber's throat either.
No, when did that happen?
Last year.
It did?
Yeah. He just spot right in the throat.
He's got... Well, young Akeem Olajuwon had that where he would snap on you and punch you in the... Like, he just punched Billy Paltz in the face. He got tired of it.
There's a compilation of Amon's dirty... I put it in quotes, dirtiest plays.
He's already got a dirty play compilation?
There already is a compilation.
Oh, my God. Somebody has actually put that together?
What the TikTok of... Him talking about his rage. The intro was him talking about his rage, and then
is that what the music is?
Yeah. And then the rest of it is all his clips.
The first play was him spiking.
So the only people who do that are people who are fans of other teams. Like your own team, a Rocket fan isn't going to put that together. I don't think.
Rocket fans like the chippiness. I think some Rocket fans.
Oh, maybe they looked at it as
we got a demon.
Oh,
one of those things.
Okay.
And it's been repurposed.
So it doesn't say dirt. Oh, it's been repurposed as dirty.
Yeah, I think the Warriors fans have taken and twisted it to fit their narrative.
Well,
I mean, it's actually on film.
They take it out of context of the league. Let us get this demon.
Well, one team's demon is another team's dirty player. I don't know if he's dirty. I think he plays really hard. Like Ron Artest wasn't dirty. He was just extra physical with an ability to flip. Like there was a switch that could flip. We saw it with the Malice in the Palace. But Ron had a switch just like Mad Max, Vernon Maxwell. We had another guy on the team in Houston where if a switch flipped, he hit a teammate with a weight. Like he went and got a weight and hit Carl Herrera in the head with a weight. He pulled a gun on people at a red light just because he didn't like the way they were driving. Like I'm not saying Amen's going to hit somebody, in the head, I think he's got a switch.
I need that to be like a dimmer. I need it to be where you can turn it down and turn or high. Well, I don't need a flip to be switched.
We haven't seen him like do anything over the top yet. Have we?
You mean slinging a person down, getting thrown?
Hero needed to mind his business. He was in people's business.
You mean basketball business?
No, I do think it was pretty. Like, it showed how twitchy Amen's strength is. He's twitchy, explosive in his upper body, is what I took from that. And he's got strong core.
We
got to
get a break.
But, like, yeah, that just shows you. That's just a deterrent. That's him stabbing somebody in prison the first day he gets there.
I don't like the comp. I'm going to tell you, I don't like the comp.
The Rockets probably don't like that either. Not stabbing somebody, just beating them up. Like he beat up little Tyler Hero.
Okay.
And then people aren't going to mess it. It's just putting a message out there.
All right.
That's how I see it. But I've also watched American Me, and of course I've watched Blood In, Blood Out lots of times. And I could compare certain Rockets to certain Blood In, Blood Out people. That's just kind of what I do. 7:53. I want to tell you about John Daspit. John Daspit is the difference. John is the difference maker when it comes to people who have been injured in an accident. A lot of people don't know where to turn. They've been badly injured. They're maybe afraid to go to the doctors because they know it's going to be really expensive. Maybe they don't have insurance, and you're like, I'll just tough it out. Guys, that's not the deal. John Daspit will pay for all your, you know, the medic. Make sure you get to the hospital. Get your, you know, get your X-rays in, your MRIs in. Get everything in that needs to happen. Because when you're in these accidents, whether it's at the workplace or a slip and fall or, you know, out on the roadway, you're going to have to make sure that everything is corrected. If it needs surgery, if it needs rehab, whatever the case may be. And if you miss time at work, John's going to recoup that money. So all your bills are going to be paid. I mean, your hospital bills are all taken care of. Your money's going to be recouped that you missed from work. And he's going to get you a good pain and suffering settlement as well, because he understands that, you know, you didn't want that injury. And for some people, the injury and the pain and suffering is going to last a lifetime, unfortunately. So if you're one of those people, you want somebody who's fighting for you, not the insurance company that's looking to stick you. And then, you know, they just want their person, whoever they represent, to come out on top. John Daspit will fight for you, and he'll win for you. 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW. Or go to DaspitLaw.com.
ESPN 97.5.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair has got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip: when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. The world of fast fashion has complicated clothing production by outsourcing around the world to whoever can sew them the cheapest. And now you, the consumer, are paying the price with rising costs. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. So when you buy from American Giant, you're taking a stand for hardworking people, local communities, and quality clothes. American Giant directly supports American manufacturers and ensures you aren't footing that tariff bill. Support American-made tariff-free clothing with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.